All right, thank you. It's good to see you all here today. Glad to see you've survived Christmas. So last Sunday we were thinking about the feasts of the Lord and how they all had significance for the life, ministry, death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also that they were anticipating the great wedding banquet of the Lamb. And so I encouraged you last week to rejoice at Christmas time, to enjoy your Christmas and to see it as an occasion when we anticipate the great wedding banquet of the Lamb. So you're probably wondering how I did. Well, I did better than usual, not 100%, but I did better than usual. I could say that, I think, a wee bit. So the last of our family left us on Thursday afternoon. But the good news is they're coming back tomorrow and they're going to be staying overnight again, and when they'll leave, I don't know. So you might get a wee text from me. It will be Philemon 22, verse 22, which says, "Prepare a guest room for me." So if you get Philemon 22, get working. So we're going to read this morning Psalm 56 together. And I thought as we came to the end of the old year and the start of a new year, we're going to think this morning of the subject of faith, and to think of it like this, that for the Christian, faith is our engine, our spiritual engine. And then next Sunday morning, we will think of the fuel that our engine runs on, which is fortitude. Hope not stretching this too far. And then next Sunday evening, I hope we'll be able to look at the difference that we should make in journeying through this world, that we should carry with us the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. So Psalm 56, David's faith. Verse 1, "Be merciful to me, O God, for men hotly pursue me. All day long they press their attack. My slanderers pursue me all day long. Men are attacking me in their pride. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? All day long they twist my words. They are always plotting to harm me. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, eager to take my life. On no account let them escape. In your anger, O God, bring down the nations. Record my lament. List my tears in your scroll. Are they not on your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offering to you. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." We trust the Lord will bless this reading of his word. So I'm going to ask you a little question in a moment, and I just want you to know this is not original. It's something I heard on the radio a few months ago and on a Sunday service, and when we were traveling somewhere, and you may also have heard it. So there is a glass of water. Now I'm going to ask you a question about that. What do you think the question might be? Yes?
Water spilled.
Sorry?
Water spilled.
Water spilled? That might come. Okay, well you're sort of thinking, I'm going to ask you, is it half full or half empty? But that's not the question. The question is, what weight is it? What weight is it? Anybody want to try? Yes?
Half full.
Half full. You're one line behind me. What weight is it? Yes?
100 grams.
Good boy. I don't even know what 100 grams is. Well, the answer is this. It depends how long you have to hold it. Isn't that a good illustration? If you only have to hold it for a moment, it's light. It's only a glass of water. But if you have to hold it for a long time, it becomes heavy. So I'll just set it down there now. And we all experience pressures and problems in life. And even the smallest problem or the slightest pressure can become very heavy when they press upon us for a long time. And King David knew all about the problems and pressures of life. And it's interesting when you read through his Psalms, and I think there are about 70 odd Psalms attributed to David. He may have written more. But it's interesting when you read through his Psalms, there are very few references to friends, but very many references to enemies. And he seems to be under constant threat by enemies. So I'm going to very quickly run through a list of references to enemies. There's printouts of what I'm saying at the back if you want to take these and go through them later. So there was enemies all around him, Psalm 27, verse 6. The enemies who surround me, they were growing in number, Psalm 25, verse 19. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. They were beyond number, Psalm 69, verse 4. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. They wanted his blood, Psalm 59, verse 2. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from bloodthirsty men. Some of them were strangers, Psalm 54, verse 3. Strangers are attacking me. Ruthless men seek my life. Some were former friends. Psalm 41, verses 7 to 9. All my enemies whisper together against me. Even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. At times he felt alone. Psalm 142, verse 4. No man cares for my soul. At times he felt in utter despair. Psalm 69, verse 20. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. And at times he is longing for relief. Psalm 55, verse 6. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. But through it all, these constant pressures, David had a place of rest, a haven of refuge, a source of relief. And it was faith in God. Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. So very briefly this morning, we're going to think first of all of David's fear, and then secondly, David's fortress, and then thirdly, David's faith. So David's fear. And let us remember that David was just a man. He had the same physical and emotional makeup as us, and at times he had great cause to be afraid. Psalm 55 and verse 4. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. Oh, what an experience that David is overwhelmed with anguish and with horror. And this is something he has experienced before and knows he will experience again. Now, fear is defined as a painful emotion aroused by a sense of dread or impending danger. A painful emotion aroused by a sense of dread or impending danger. And fear is part of our fallen nature, and it exists within each one of us, and it's able... Fear, anxiety, worry is able to exert a powerful influence over us. And in this psalm, David lists his reasons for fear. First of all, the heading of the psalm. For the director of music, to the tune of a dove on distant oaks of David, when the Philistines had seized him in Gath. So David's particular circumstances here was that he was in hiding from Saul, who was seeking his life, and the only secure location he could find was with Saul's enemies, the Philistines, in the city of Gath. And you remember when David was younger, when he killed Goliath? Goliath was the champion of Gath. So in Gath he had many enemies. So running from one threat, it leads him to another threatening situation. 1 Samuel chapter 21, where we read of David and Gath, verse 12 says this. Is this not the one of whom they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands? And David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So David, in hiding from Saul, finds himself in another threatening situation. And in this psalm, he lists his reasons for fear. So the threat to his life was serious and unremitting. Verse 1, be merciful to me, O God, for men hotly pursue me. They press their attack, so he's been hotly pursued. Verse 2, my slanderers pursue me all day long. They are attacking me in their pride. He is oppressed. The literal Hebrew is this, they crush me down. So these men are hotly pursuing him. They have an agenda. They have a hatred in their heart. They're determined to catch him and to kill him. Verse 5, all day long they twist my words. They are always plotting to harm me. So he is misrepresented. They spread gossip. They turn people against him. Then verse 6, they conspire. They lurk. They watch my steps, eager to take my life. So they are conspiring. There's a number of them, maybe many of them. They're conspiring together. They're lurking. They're waiting for their opportunity. And their objective is to take David's life. And he is gripped with fear. And throughout the Bible we find many of the great saints and soldiers of the Lord at times overcome with fear. Joshua 1 verse 9, God says to Joshua, the man that God had appointed to lead the army of Israel, don't be afraid. In Acts chapter 18, when the apostle is in the city of Corinth, in verse 9, God appears to him at night and says, don't be afraid, because Paul was gripped by fear. 1 Kings 19 verse 3, we read that Elijah was afraid. The prophet Elijah, who had stood before all the prophets of Baal and seen God overthrowing them, and now in the next chapter, he's gripped with fear. And we all know the power of fear. And it can exert a strong influence over us, that at times we're unable to resist. And it can affect us emotionally, physically and spiritually, and cause us to do what we shouldn't do and prevent us from doing what we should do. And fear can become our accuser and our prison. Psalm 55 and verse 5. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. So here is David's fear. And at times we all have reason to be afraid, and David in these circumstances is gripped by fear. But let's go on and consider his fortress. And when David was under threat, when he was under attack, when fear threatened to overwhelm him, he found a refuge and a relief in God. Psalm 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. So God was his fortress. And a fortress is defined as a military stronghold or a strong fortification. And fortress conveys the idea of war. And David sees himself being in a battle. He has many enemies. He is under threat. But God is his fortress, the fortress who protects him from his enemies. So the question came into my mind, what or who is or are David's enemies? Is it the Philistines or is it fear? Is he under attack from the Philistines, his enemies, or is he under attack from fear? And it's my thought that here David's enemy, his great enemy, as we so often find, is doubt or uncertainty, lack of confidence, and fear. We get attacked by fear. And notice that David doesn't say God provides a fortress, but God is his fortress. And so what he's reminding himself of is that within his covenant relationship with God, he finds security. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is my shepherd, I am his sheep. Therefore, he will watch over me, he will protect me, and he will deliver me from danger. And in times of danger, when his enemies were all around, gathering like dark clouds, when fear threatened to get a grip around his heart, he found security in God, which he expresses in a number of ways throughout his Psalms. And again, I have a number of references here that I'll just go over very quickly. God is his shepherd, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. God is his safety, Psalm 27. In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. God is his security, Psalm 16, verse 5. Lord, you have made my lot secure. God is his shield, Psalm 3, verse 3. You are a shield around me, O Lord. God is his strength, Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield, his stronghold, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my stronghold of my life, his salvation, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And God is his shepherd, his safety, his security, his shield, his strength, his stronghold, his salvation, and his song. Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of your love and justice to you, Lord. I will sing praise. And so David says, I will sing of his love and justice. He's singing about God, but to you, Lord, I will sing praise. And he's singing to God. So David has found God to be his stronghold, a safe haven and a shelter from the storm. Psalm 32 and verse 7. You are my hiding place and you will protect me from trouble. The city of Philippi in New Testament times was a Roman garrison. So whatever happened outside the city, whatever disturbance and trouble there was outside the city, there was safety and security inside the city because the Roman army was garrisoned there. And Paul used this fact to illustrate the victory of faith. And so what he says literally in Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7, don't be anxious about everything or about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will garrison your heart. It says probably in your Bible, will keep your heart. It's the peace of God will garrison your heart. God is our fortress. His peace garrisons our heart. So whatever happens outside, in our hearts, it's possible to know peace, because the peace of God, which passes all understanding, garrisons our hearts in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He reminded himself of God's love and faithfulness. He cast his cares upon the Lord, and his spirit was refreshed and his strength renewed. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So David's fear is under threat from many enemies who want to take his life. His fortress, he finds his security, his safety, his salvation in God. But let's go on and consider his faith. Some of you, maybe many of you here, have read Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't read it, let me encourage you. You can get versions in modern English. But it's a great story and has many great lessons to teach us. And Christian and Hopeful are on their way to the celestial city. And they're taken prisoner by Giant Despair. And Giant Despair throws them into Doubting Castle. And if you're a Christian, you've been on the Christian path for some time, you know all about Giant Despair. And you know all about Doubting Castle. And there for some time, Christian and Hopeful were held in chains, sorrowing and grieving until suddenly Christian remembered he had the key that would unlock the door. And the key was faith. The key was faith. And every Christian experiences fear. But every Christian has a fortress, and the key that opens the door to fortress is fear, is faith. The key that opens the door to fortress is faith. So here David is surrounded by threats and terrors, and he remembers God. Psalm 56 and verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. So let me think of this under three brief headings. First of all, David's difficulty, then his decision, and then his discovery. His difficulty is this, that he was just faith and flesh and blood, and faith is hard. Faith is hard. Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is the reality of things hoped for and the proof of things not seen. And faith is hard, for we're being asked to believe in someone who is invisible and in something that is impossible to the human mind. And faith is hard because it goes beyond the reach of our senses. It asks us to believe in someone and something that we can't see or hear or touch or taste or smell. Thomas said, when the other disciples had told him Christ is risen from the dead, what did he say? Well, unless I see and touch, I can't believe. I can't believe. The Queen of Sheba, when she came to visit Solomon, says, I didn't believe all his splendor until I came and saw with my own eyes. And we all find faith hard. It's easy when you don't need to have faith. But when you need it, it's hard. I find it hard. I find faith hard. And I'm sure you do. And no doubt David found faith hard when all around him he could see and hear his enemies. And he knew what they were discussing and what they were conspiring together about. And he knew they wanted his life. And he could look out his window wherever he was. He could see them. He could hear them talking. And their threats were constant without relief. He says in this psalm in the opening verses, all day long, three times, all day long they pressed their attack. All day long. And so this is not just some little incident. This happened over a period of time. They say, all day long they are opposed, they are oppressing me. And he knew what their objective was. Verse 6, they conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, eager to take my life. But let's consider David's decision. Verse 3, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. There is no voice from heaven here. There is no spiritual enlightenment. There is no indication that David's rescue is close. This is a decision that David makes. It's a decision. He makes a deliberate decision. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this in speaking about Psalm 42. We spend too much time listening to ourselves when we should be talking to ourselves. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him. And here, David makes a decision. There's a wonderful example of this in Habakkuk chapter 3, where God reveals to Habakkuk that the Babylonians are going to come and take the people of Judah away into Israel. And Habakkuk just, if you're familiar with chapter 1, just can't come to terms how a God of righteousness could permit this. And at the end of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, he comes to a decision. Though the fig tree doesn't bud and there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to be joyful in God, my Saviour. Is envisaging a scene of total desolation and devastation. And yet he says, this is something I've decided upon. If there is nothing or no one to give me relief and encouragement, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And here David makes a decision that he's going to trust God. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. So his difficulty, faith, his heart, his decision, well, I'm going to trust God. And his discovery, his decision to trust God has put everything into perspective and renewed David's confidence and courage. And by faith, David sees God seated on the throne. And this psalm, which started with tears, ends with joy. David anticipates God's delivering power. You have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. As we look back over 2017, all of us have had problems and difficulties. Some have been very intense and prolonged. But God has been faithful, and he has been our helper. And we have no doubt that as we enter 2018, we know that it will contain problems and difficulties that we can't imagine, we can't envisage. But here David sets for us a good example. Regardless of what happens, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. And let us, Eric talked earlier about resolutions. Is it biblical to make resolutions? King David made resolutions. It's a good thing to do. Here's a wonderful resolution for 2018. I'm going to trust God. Regardless of what happens, regardless of how dark the sky grows, regardless of how violent the storm blows against me, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to make God my fortress, that I might know that peace that passes understanding, and that his glory may be revealed in me. May the Lord bless us each, and I trust that each of you as individuals and as families will have a fruitful and joyful 2018. We're going to sing together in closing, Love With Ever.